imitant Courteline, un sceptique notoire, manifestant ainsi que l'on me désabuse, j'ai dévelé.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is September 30th, 2014, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is CT Angiography for Blunt Cerebrovascular Injury Detection in Trauma Patients. My very special guest skeptic on today's episode is Dr. Marcel Amon. Marcel is an associate professor at Laval University. He also works as an emergency physician at the Level 1 Trauma Center here in Quebec City. He is also a research director of the Canadian Emergency Trauma Initiative. Welcome to the SGEM, Marcel.
Bonjour, Ken. I'm happy to be here and be skeptic for your listener.
And you said skeptic, not septic, correct?
No, I said septic, because in French it's septic.
Oh, okay. Well, Marcel is the newest member of the BEAM team, and we are recording this at QBEAM in the beautiful city of Quebec. This city, if you have not been here, has an old European feel without having to leave North America. It is fabulous. The culture, the language, the architecture, the food. I would have to say, Marcel, it is magnifique.
Yeah, it is magnifique, actually. And we invite all of the listeners to come in Quebec and enjoy the French part of North America.
Well, because we are doing this in Quebec City, I wanted some French theme music. Can you tell me a little bit more about the song you picked for this episode?
Theme sound, sound actually is from Georges Brassens, who's actually it's a French singer, an old French singer who used to be very sarcastic and septic. And actually, the skeptic part is the title of the song. If you want to Google him on the internet, you can always tap in Brassens, which is spelled B-R-A-S-S-E-N-S, and you'll see some of a beautiful French song by one of the magnifique singer.
So, Marcel, we wanted to give you a trauma case because you work at a level one trauma hospital. So here's the case we're going to frame this discussion with. You have a 21-year-old man who loses control of his snowmobile and presents to a small rural hospital with a head and neck injury. His vital signs are stable. His Glasgow coma scale is 7. He's moving all of his extremities, but there is a C3-4 fracture identified on plane films. He's intubated at the rural hospital and transferred to you at the Level 1 Trauma Center. So the question we're going to ask is CT angiography accurate for detecting blunt cerebrovascular injury?
Thanks, Ken. This is actually a very interesting question. It's working at Level 1 Trauma Center, this most of the physician, emergency physician or trauma team leader at those center relates to that vignette, and it's bread and butter for us. We have blunt injury. We have major trauma victim every day. And we're always faced with the question of, is this patient that looks sick and intubated and transfer having also blunt trauma to carotid or vertebral artery that we call blunt cerebrovascular injury? It's not that frequent. It occurs about 1% of the time with inpatient trauma. So we keep looking for that disease that's not frequent, but we need to look for it because there's a lot of morbidity and mortality associated, and it's usually a delayed presentation. We don't really see it right away, and sometimes we see it at the transfer level, so when we're level one receiving hospital. And many of us are faced with the same question: should I investigate this patient for a possible carotid injury after his trauma? In 2003, one article came out in Annals of Surgery that looks at the value of CTA compared to digital angiography. And that's very interesting. The article by Roberts and Al on diagnostic accuracy of a compute tomography angiography for BCVI detection in trauma patient did a systematic review that was published, like I said, in Annals of Surgery.
And so that's the article we're going to use to try to answer that question that we posed at the beginning of this podcast. And Marcel, we always use a PICO format to try to answer the question. And so can you give us the population intervention comparison and outcome? But start with the population. Who were they looking at in this systematic review?
So population, the systematic review looked at 8 studies enrolling 16 years old patient after a blunt trauma, and they were suspected of blunt cerebrovascular injury based on risk factor and clinical sign at the emergency department. There were about 1,400 patients presenting in different United States trauma center.
And what was the intervention that they were looking at?
So the intervention was actually CT angiography, which is really available in most of the level 1 trauma center, of the carotid and vertebral arteries. And it was compared to digital subtraction angiography of the same vessels.
So they compared the CTA to a DSA, or a CT angiography, to digital subtraction angiography. What was the outcome that they were looking at?
They were looking basically at the diagnostic accuracy of CTA compared to the gold standard here, which was DSA for blunt cerebrovascular injury.
And so the author's conclusion from this systematic review was, quote, "Existing evidence suggests that the diagnostic performance of CTA varies considerably across studies, likely due to an implicit variation in the diagnostic threshold across trauma centers. Moreover, although CTA appears to lack sensitivity to adequately rule out a BCVI, it may be useful to rule in BCVI among trauma patients with a high pretest probability of injury." End of quote. Now, Marcel, we have a quality checklist for systematic reviews that involve 6 questions, and I was going to run through those 6 questions with you now. So question 1, was the diagnostic question, was it clinically relevant with an established criteria standard?
Yes, although digital subtraction is usually invasive and a bit of labor intensive, it is still probably the best, you know, gold standard we have for detection of cerebrovascular injury nowadays.
Question number 2, was the search for studies, was it detailed and exhaustive?
Oui, in French, meaning yes, it was well done and extensive.
And how about the methodology, the quality of the primary studies? Were they assessed for common forms of diagnostic research bias?
Yes, totally.
Question 4, the assessment of studies were reproducible?
Yes, you can do, and they followed strict rules that we do for assessment of study, like the QADAS.
And question 5, there was low heterogeneity for the estimates of sensitivity or specificity?
I can only say no. Actually, there was a great part of heterogeneity between the studies for the estimation of sensitivity and specificity, and we'll discuss it probably later.
Question 6, the final question. The summary diagnostic accuracy is sufficiently precise to improve upon existing clinical decision-making model?
I have to say no, which in French means no.
No. Well, then let's go through these key results and find out why you gave those answers of both oui and no. So what were the key results from these 8 studies included in this systematic review?
Well, the author did a very great search of literature. They pooled around 6,000 studies, and they came up after removing all, I should say, not the crap, but what's not pertinent, 8 studies that with a total of 5,700 carotid or vertebral arteries in about 1,400 trauma patients that was included. The pool results for the BCVI detection with CTA versus digital subtraction were done afterwards.
And so they calculated some sensitivities and specificities. What were the sensitivities and specificities from these 8 studies?
As mentioned, before we go on and saying all the results, one word of caution is that they did pull results, although the heterogeneity was quite high. So sensitivity was 66% with 95% confidence interval going from 49 to 79. But the I2 square, for those who are familiar, meaning that the heterogeneity was higher than 75%.
And how about the specificity?
Specificity was great, actually, 97%, with confidence interval going from 91 to 99, so nearly 100.
But they, too, had a very high I squared score, which was 94, and that's a lot of heterogeneity, isn't it?
It is. It is. Higher than 75%, actually, is quite high when you're looking at I2 square.
So how about the positive likelihood ratio?
It's actually one of the results that came out that could be very useful for the future, is that the positive likelihood ratio was 20, and the confidence band goes from 6.9 to 58.4, which, you know, although there's a lot of heterogeneity, could be very useful for a rule-in tool in the future.
And how about the negative likelihood ratio?
Well, negative is within the gray zone. We have 0.35, so may not be that useful for a future rule-in test.
That finishes the key results, and this was a well-performed systematic review and meta-analysis. However, most of the studies included, we were unclear on the blinding issue.
Yeah, obviously there was some problem with the heterogeneity, and it was basically the source of the heterogeneity might have included the reading of the CTA, some of the difference in the CT modality. Obviously, there are different generation in CT scan, so it went from, you know, 16 to some are fewer slice. Also, the diagnostic threshold variability between studies. So there's a couple of factors there that affect the homogeneity of all the studies.
Yeah, so there were a lot of problems with heterogeneity, which we referred to. And like you said, it may include the fact that who's reading the CTA, the fact that some of these CT scanners had 16 slices or fewer, and the diagnostic threshold variability between the studies themselves. But Marcel, I want to take a moment here and talk a little nerdy to you. This study did talk about likelihood ratios for the diagnostic value of the test in question. And I want to remind listeners that if you have a likelihood ratio of 1, it means that there is no effect. However, if you have a likelihood ratio of greater than 10, a positive likelihood ratio greater than 10, this is highly diagnostic for ruling in a condition. And as you stated earlier, the positive likelihood ratio in this study was 20. However, if you have a negative likelihood ratio of less than 0.1, this is highly diagnostic of ruling out a condition. And in these 8 studies, the pooled value was 0.35. I'll put a table in the blog to help explain this further, but that's enough nerdy talk. Marcel, you wanted to say some more things about this study.
Actually, this review shows that diagnostic accuracy of the CTA for BCVI varies across institutions. While, you know, the pool negative LR was inadequate to rule out BCVI at 0.35, we like to see that a negative likelihood ratio to be below 0.1, like you said, to feel confident about ruling out a condition.
And on the other hand, like we mentioned, the positive likelihood ratio of 20 warrants consideration for ruling in the injuries with those individuals with a high pretest probability. Further studies with a standard diagnostic threshold is required.
If ultimately deemed to be specific enough, I have the feeling that CTA will allow testing for an easily missed but, you know, devastating injury without resorting to the intensive and time-consuming procedure of digital subtraction angiography. However, I can say as a level one emergency physician that this review will probably not be the last word on the matter, and we'll need more data before we can decide on what to do with our patient.
Well, as a level one trauma specialist, can you compare the author's conclusions to the conclusions we've come up with today?
We agree that there's a significant variability in the sensitivity of the CTA for BCVI across institution, and a conclusion on its own is actually quite good from the authors, and we agree that it warrants further study to confirm the use of the CTA for screening for blunt cerebrovascular injury.
Well, we're eMERGE docs, so can you give us a bottom line? What's the bottom line from this systematic review? Bring it home for us.
Okay, very simple, quite easy. BCVI is an uncommon but dangerous injury to miss as an emergency physician taking care of major trauma victims. But, you know, the current best test to confirm the problem remains one that is onerous to perform and not as widely available as CT, and is the digital subtraction angiography.
So how are you going to take this information and apply it clinically, Marcel?
If I have a negative CTA and a patient with a high suspicion of for BCVI, let's say, you know, multiple cervical fracture, basal skull fracture, or have a patient with an abnormal lesion on the head CT, then I would warrant further workup with the digital subtraction if CTA is negative. doing a CTA in a patient with a very low pretest probability may be also called futile. So it needs to be really taken into consideration while ordering the test.
So what are you actually going to tell the patient, though? How are you going to communicate this, you know, a systematic review? How do you distill that down to the patient's bedside and communicate either to them, not this case because he had a GCS of 7 is now intubated, but to his family members? How are you going to convey this type of information to a family?
I think the best way to do it is actually to tell them that we're uncertain whether a CT scan of the blood vessel in the head of the patient or your head or neck will confidentially exclude significant injuries. But for the time being, the patient has suffered a serious head and neck injury. It is better to be at a trauma center with an interventional radiologist who can perform more invasive and time-consuming tests to exclude this injury if you have if we have a high suspicion of having such injuries. However, if an interventional radiologist is unavailable, a CT angiogram demonstrate a significant injury will lead to a consultation of surgeons, obviously.
That brings us to the end of the critical appraisal of the paper, Marcel, and we always have a Keener contest. Last week's winner was... Dr. Ellie Wallace, an emergency medicine resident at Boston Medical Center. She knew that a sphingomanometer was invented by Samuel Richter von Bosch in 1881. Marcel, what is the Keener question for this week?
Quebec is one of the oldest cities in North America, but did you know that Quebec City also had the oldest hospital north of the Mexican border? So can you give us the name of the hospital and the date of foundation of that hospital within the old town of Quebec City?
Ah, good one, Marcel. This question goes out to all the new SGEM fans from Quebec. So if you know the name of that oldest hospital in North America, north of the Mexican border, and when was it founded, send me an email with Keener in the subject line to the sgem@gmail.com. And the first person to correctly answer the question will receive a cool skeptical prize. Marcel, we're just finishing up QBeam, which has been fantastique. Is that correct?
It is.
It has been fantastique to be here in Quebec City doing QBeam. But we have another conference coming up in January 26th to 28th, Ski Beam, in the beautiful Sun Peaks Resort in British Columbia. Thanks again, Marcel, and welcome to the Beam team.
Sophie, avec un grand plaisir. It was my pleasure to be here.
Now, we always have our guests give the SGEM tagline, but could you give it in French?
Sûrement. Rappelez-vous que tout ce que vous apprenez, d'être sceptique à propos de ce que vous apprenez, même si vous l'apprenez ici, au Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next week.
Mais j'envie les pauvres d'esprit pouvant y croire.